pray. Father, we are thankful, as we just sang, for the birth of your Son. And that's a right response, that every knee will bow, and we praise you, Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, Lord. As we look at your word now, give us ears to hear, hearts and minds that are open to your truth. We thank you, Lord, that we can comprehend that, and we give you praise this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. He's just a baby. 10 fingers, 10 toes. 2 eyes, 2 ears, 1 mouth, and 1 nose. He's just a baby, cries out for mom's arms as he lies in a manger in the innkeeper's barn. He's just a baby, yet the sky changed its form as a new star appeared when this baby was born. He's just a baby, yet the hosts of heaven sang, "Hallelujah to this baby, hallelujah, Son of Man." He's just a baby, yet drove a mad king wild who stained the streets with innocence looking for this child. Why? Because he's just a baby, yet will walk on the seas, feed thousands with nothing, and perform miracles with ease. He's just a baby, yet will carry out the law, live a life of perfection so man will fear no more. He's just a baby, yet will speak to every nation, every broken heart and lost soul. He will fight for their salvation. He's just a baby, yet when they call him man, they will shout for crucifixion and drive nails through his hands. He's just a baby, yet at his final breath, all creation will shake, mourning his death. He's just a baby, yet when he's laid in his grave, he will rise 3 days later, victorious to save. He's just a baby when we look in his festive cot. But the truth is, he's not just a baby. He is the Almighty Son of God. What I just read to you is the spoken word poem entitled "Not Just a Baby" by Faith and Paul Sierstead. This magnificent poem contrasts the world's view that Christmas is just about a mere baby with the truth of God's word about the Son of God. You see, the unsaved world will often make light of and even make fun of Jesus being just a baby. We hear the worldly exclamation or the punchline of a joke, "Sweet baby Jesus." But the truth is, Jesus is not just a baby. He is the Almighty Son of God, our Lord, Savior, and Master. And that's the title of my devotional this morning, "Jesus is Not Just a Baby," from Luke chapter 2. Now, we could probably just read Luke 1:35 and call it good. That'd be the end of the devotional, where the angel tells Mary, "The holy child shall be called the Son of God." But let's dig a little deeper than that this morning. We know that Jesus began his public ministry when he was about 30 years of age, as Luke 3:23 tells us. But what does God's word say about Jesus growing from that little baby into a man? Well, very little is mentioned in God's word about Jesus' first 30 years. That's referred to as the hidden years by theologians. But by God's ordaining, we know exactly what we are supposed to know. If God wanted us to know more, God would have revealed more in his word, but he didn't. So we need to be careful not to speculate, nor attribute myths to scripture, nor watch Hollywood's version of Jesus as a boy. What do I mean by that? Well, one example is that nowhere in God's word do we see the boy Jesus making birds out of clay, folks. That's a myth. Rather, we'll look at 4 quick points of God's truth about Jesus' young life. Those are in your handout. Point number one, Jesus grew in size and maturity. Point two, Jesus became full of wisdom and grew in wisdom. Point three, Jesus was submissive and obedient. And point four, Jesus was in favor with God and man. I'll repeat those points as we get to them. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. In Luke 2, 8 through 21, we see the angelic announcement of the birth of Jesus the Christ to the shepherds, a passage that we very likely read in our homes every Christmas morning. And then in Luke 2, 22 through 39, we see Joseph and Mary present the baby Jesus to the Lord at the temple, according to the Old Testament, as devoted Jewish parents. And then we have just one verse, just a single verse, Luke 2:40, covering the first 12 years of Jesus' life. Let me read that to you. Luke 2:40, the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Then in Luke 2:41 through 51, we have the story of a 12-year-old Jesus blowing the minds of his parents and everyone else in the temple in his ability to understand and comprehend the things of God. And then in Luke 2:52, we have the next two decades of Jesus' life summed up in one verse. Just a single verse to describe two decades of how Jesus developed into a well-rounded, real human being, mentally, intellectually, socially, and spiritually. Let me read it to you, Luke 2:52. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. That's it. Jesus' first 30 years in just a few verses, but that's all we need. It's all we need to know that Jesus is not just a baby. He is the Almighty Son of God. So let's begin with our first point from God's Word. Point number one, Jesus grew in size and maturity. We call Jesus the God-man, as he is both fully God and fully man. But if we're honest, we can sometimes forget that Jesus was truly and fully human, just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was born, he grew, he thirsted, he hungered, he wept, he slept, he learned, he worked, he was tempted, he sweated, he bled, and he died. So why remind ourselves of this? Because Jesus was fully God and fully man, so he understands what we go through in life as a child and as an adult. He understands what it is like to be human and have weaknesses. We just sang about that. To be tempted in every way, yet without sin, as Hebrews 4:15 tells us. As J.C. Ryle noted, quote, "One comfortable practical lesson stands out on the face of this truth, which ought never to be overlooked. Our Lord is able to sympathize with man in every stage of man's existence, from the cradle to the grave. He knows by experience the nature and temperament of the child, the boy, and the young man. He has stood in their place. He has occupied their position. He knows their hearts. Let us never forget this." End quote. So in Luke 2:40, we see that from birth to 12 years old, Jesus continued to grow and become strong, God's word says. Now, grow is to increase in size by natural process, and strong is strength physically, mentally, or psychologically. As one lexicon describes, strong here means, quote, to be or become strong or powerful beyond the average or expected. So while Jesus was growing in size, physically as a boy, we also learn from the Greek word choice that Jesus was continuing to become strong and powerful mentally beyond the average of what was expected. And we also see this in Luke 2:52, where we see that from 12 to 30 years old, from a boy to a man, Jesus, as Scripture says, kept increasing in stature. Now, increasing here means advancing or developing or making progress. And stature means age as it relates to maturity of life, mind, or person. One lexicon describes stature as, quote, the social recognition, qualifications, or expectations of a specific age group, as well as behavior befitting an older age group, often resulting in greater esteem in all categories, end quote. So Jesus grew physically and mentally and in maturity. He grew in all aspects beyond what was expected in society, which goes to point number four. And this is during his adolescence to adulthood. This is more than just a baby. This is the Almighty Son of God. Well, let's see about Jesus' wisdom, our second point. Jesus became full of wisdom and grew in wisdom. Point number two. Back in Luke 2:40, it says that Jesus, as a child up to 12 years old, mind you, was increasing in wisdom. Now, in your Bibles, you might see a footnote that says, literally becoming full of wisdom. I know it says that in the NASB, literally becoming full of wisdom. And that's a better translation for increasing in. Increasing, plero in the Greek, is to cause or make something become full, to make complete. As one lexicon describes increasing here, it's, quote, to fill, to supply abundantly with something, to impart richly, to imbue with, end quote. So what was Jesus, as a young child, abundantly, fully, and completely filled with? Wisdom. Wisdom. Sophia in the Greek. Generally, this means the capacity to understand and act wisely. As Pastor John always says, wisdom is knowledge applied. One lexicon takes this definition of Sophia here in Luke 2:40, which we also see the same word in Luke 2:52, a step further by stating, quote, Sophia stands for divine wisdom, the ability to regulate one's relationship with God, end quote. And that definition makes sense. If Jesus is full, completely full of wisdom, it has to be divine wisdom. But why do I say it has to be divine wisdom? Well, it makes sense when we see Jesus in the temple at 12 years old, blowing the minds of all those who heard him ask questions. Luke 2, verse 46. Everyone in the temple and his parents were all, what does God's word say? Amazed and astonished. Those, if you look up the definition of those words, it literally means beside themselves at Jesus' understanding the things of God. We see that in verses 47 and 48. And his understanding here is intelligence, reasoning, perception. It was Christ's ability to comprehend and understand concepts and the relationships between those concepts. Everyone who heard the 12-year-old Jesus speak of God's word were in a state of bewilderment and wonder. As one lexicon describes, this reaction by every single person was, quote, to be or become astounded to such a degree as to nearly lose one's mental composure. Another lexicon described it as to be so amazed as to be practically overwhelmed. This is everyone who heard him and his parents. And then we see Jesus express to Joseph and Mary a profound point of divine wisdom. Do you see it in verse 49? This is the first time in God's word that any person claimed God as their personal father. And it comes from 12-year-old Jesus. Luke 2:49, and he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? As John MacArthur noted, quote, the Greek text literally reads, he was filled with wisdom, the profound wisdom of the mind of God. Jesus did not possess all of that knowledge as an infant, toddler, or young child, but by the time he was 12, the fullness of divine wisdom had come to fruition in his mind. A feature of Christ's incarnation was that he relinquished control of his use of his divine prerogatives to the Holy Spirit, who mediated between his deity and his humanity. By the time he reached 12, The Spirit had disclosed the understanding of his identity and mission, end quote. And then we see in Luke 2:52 that Jesus kept increasing in wisdom for the next two decades, from 12 to 30 years old. Same word for wisdom here in verse 52 as we see in verse 40, Sophia, and that's divine wisdom in our context. But Luke uses a different word in the Greek for increasing between Jesus as a boy and Jesus as a young man. In verse 40, increasing, plero, was to become full and be made complete. However, increasing here in verse 52 is prokopto, not plero, prokopto, which means advancing, progressing, or to develop further. As Warren Wiersbe noted, quote, "We must not assume that at the age of 12 he was omniscient. Certainly he grew in his comprehension of those mysteries as he communed with his father and was taught by the Spirit," end quote. And as R.C. Sproul noted, quote, "From the standpoint of his deity, he knew everything, yet from the standpoint of his humanity, he increased in wisdom as we do," end quote. So what we see here is that as the God-man, Jesus was indeed given divine wisdom at an early age. But, he also grew in wisdom as he got older. As he grew from a boy into a man, he grew in his understanding of what the Holy Spirit was revealing to him from that divine knowledge. This is more than just a baby. This is the Almighty Son of God. Well, next, let's see how his knowledge was applied, our third point. Point number three, Jesus was submissive and obedient. In Luke 2:51, we have an important point to notice about how Jesus applied wisdom in his interaction with his parents. Do you see it? "And he continued in subjection to them." In subjection, the same military term used in submission to government that we see in Romans 13, 1 Peter 2, and Titus 3. Subjection means to subject oneself in genuine honor and respect. It's voluntary placement of oneself under authority, and it implies obedience. And a side note, we know from Hebrews 5:8 that Jesus, although he was the Son of God, that verse tells us he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. So here we see that Jesus continued in subjection, and continued here means to be. It is to possess a characteristic of something. So Jesus' character was to be submissive and obedient. But to whom? To his parents. Jesus walked in wisdom before and after 12 years old by being submissive and obedient to his parents, just as he was submissive and obedient to God the Father and what the Father commanded. Which makes sense, right? Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor your father and your mother." As R.C. Sproul noted, quote, "Jesus continued to grow, not as we do sometimes, from sinfulness to obedience, but he, Jesus, moved from faith to faith, from grace to grace, from strength to strength, from obedience to higher levels of obedience, because as he increased in his understanding and knowledge of what God had called him to do, he had a greater capacity for deeper levels of obedience," end quote. This is more than just a baby. This is the Almighty Son of God. Lastly, let's see how Jesus was viewed by God and mankind, our final point. Point number four, Jesus was in favor with God and man. As a young boy under 12 years old, we see in Luke 2:40 that the grace of God was upon him. Now, grace is favor. It's benevolence. It's kindness. It's to manifest graciousness toward. So as Jesus grew from a baby to a young boy into a young man, he had God's grace, God's kindness, God's favor upon him. And we know this from the opening verses of the Gospel of John, don't we? John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, here we go, full of grace and truth. And then in Luke 2:52, where we go from 12 years old to about 30 years old, Jesus kept increasing in favor with God and in favor with people in his community. And favor here in verse 52 in our English translation is the same Greek word as grace in verse 40. It's charis in the Greek. So although God's grace, God's favor was already upon Jesus, he kept increasing, advancing, progressing, developing in both God's favor and the favor of man, of mankind, his community. Which makes sense, right? Because think about this, Jesus was the perfect child and young man in society. And he was blowing everyone away in town with his understanding of the things of God. He was the model baby, the model child, the model teenager, the model 20-something. We can't even comprehend that. He was the model citizen. He was the model worker. He was the model student of Scripture in the temple. He was the sinless God-man living in the flesh in society. This is more than just a baby. This is the Almighty Son of God. Well, to close our devotional this morning, God has given us all the truth we need to know about the baby Jesus growing into a young man. What I hope you've seen from our four quick points derived from just a few passages of God's word is that Jesus is not just a baby. He is the Almighty Son of God. And I trust that this short devotional will help us set our minds on the true reason for the Christmas season. Contrary to what the world focuses on, we need to set our minds on the true reason for the Christmas season. That little baby Jesus, as we just sang, that little baby Jesus is our Savior, Lord, and Master. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me close in prayer. Father, we are thankful that we can celebrate your birth and give you praise for you coming in the flesh to experience what we go through, Lord, yet without sin, perfect, sinless, our Savior. And we're so thankful for that, Lord, and we're thankful that you opened our eyes to this truth and that you know what we experience. You know our weaknesses. Help us to focus on that this Christmas season as the world hustles and bustles about. We are focused on you this Christmas season, and we're so thankful for that, Lord. Thank you for each and every one here in fellowship as we worship you together as a church family. Thank you, Lord Jesus, in Christ's name. Amen.